हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 67, Sutra 2120. Yata cha pranadihi. Yata, as, cha, and. Pranayadi. No, pranadi. The vital airs called prana, apana, vyana, samana, and udana. Oh, it's amazing. It's both that way. The effect is non-different from the cause. Just as the pranas are modifications of the chief prana, Sutra Prakashika. Herein the Sutrakar presents examples of Satkaryavad in continuation with the previous sutra. Later in his composition of Vedanta Sutra 2417 and 2419, Ta indriyani tad vyaparishat anyatra shreshtat and vai laksha yachcha. It is confirmed that other than the chief prana, the five others designated by prana are senses. The chief prana is not a sense, and it functions during sleep, but the other pranas, senses, do not. The other pranas become visible only when the body becomes operational. Hence, the effect, pranas, is not different from the cause, the chief prana. Somebody said? Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta, the five pranas controlled by pranayama become only the chief prana, and at the time when the body again begins functioning, with the chief prana occupying various places like the heart, the pranas again manifest from the chief prana with their own conditions. Right? So in other words, the life airs are always there, they're functioning. When the body becomes functioning, then the senses start functioning, because each of the life airs deals with a different sense. Does that make sense? Similarly, the universe, dissolving at the time of destruction, becomes one with Brahman, endowed with subtle shaktis. At the time of creation, when the Lord desires to create again, manifests as Pradhan, Mahatattva, etc. from Brahman. The word cha indicates that this sutra combines with the previous one to show examples. Right? Because it's that when you're trying to explain something, the point is there. But if you don't catch it, then there must be a discussion. Right? And in that discussion, you have to give an example. Why an example? Why that's important? So the examples, the importance of them, is that you're trying to create an understanding means that there's an experience that goes with it. Right? You can connect it to somebody who's an experience that goes with it. So you get experiences from what you perceive around you. Does that make sense? So now, according to samskar, now let's say we're using a particular point, but our samskar is such that we think it's not a good thing. Right? So then you have to be able to explain why it's a good thing, and then give examples, right, that are different, that something that you can relate to but are different from what is creating your samskara. Does that make sense? So then, now, once you accept that, now then we're talking, you know, that's positive. So that's what upanaya means. Your siddhanta is what should be giving you that experience. But if it's not, then the whole discussion, then that's geared towards that. So you give the examples, then it's there, then you bring it near by showing so, therefore, like that, it all comes to here, and then that brings you to the Siddhanta. Does that make sense? Or the conclusion. So that's what you're trying to do. Does that make sense? So the example is so that you have an understanding of what's being talked about. So that experience is there. It becomes concrete, as we explained. The experience, the experiential aspect is the concrete part. In the materialist, you know, any materialistic society, but especially the modern society, is it separated from the Vedic conclusion, it will be the opposite. It will be what you perceive, that's considered concrete, and your feelings is what's abstract. But in actuality, it's your feelings that are concrete, because that's why you do things. And the sensual information, the data, and the knowledge of that, the manipulation of that, that's what's abstract. Because it's generic, it's impersonal. Only when you apply it to yourself, then it becomes personal. Yes?
What about their realization? What would they feel?
That's then now you value it. Because first is you catch it. You know, there's something. But then when that becomes a need, it's important, that's when it's the realization. So knowledge means you understand it. But realization means you act according to that.
Oh, that's higher?
Yes, realization is higher. Because you're acting according to it. It's important to you, therefore you're doing it. Does that make sense? Is?
Is it the same as primary and secondary?
Yes. Like that. It is primary and secondary. But within, because there's reflection, then in the spiritual world, primary means Krishna and love for Krishna. And then you're engaging his energies in his service. Right? So the only reason you're engaging the energies is so that they produce in Krishna an experience. Right? And because Krishna's experiencing, then that's your experience. Right? But the material means then you separate that, so the primary is not Krishna anymore, it's yourself. So technically it's not primary, but whatever it is, just for the, so we can see the reflection. Therefore then we take it that, okay, what will gain an experience for us? And if in our experience we want to include others, let's say that person's outgoing, so they like to be around others and that, but it's still about their experience of others. You know, they have that philanthropic, they want to see others happy, so when they're happy, then you're happy. But it's based on your happiness that you're doing it. The form is like you would in the spiritual world, that you're doing things to please others. But actually it's about yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're saying. That's why the form, the mechanics of it, is the same in the spiritual material world. Just here it may get start, as we move away from the mode of goodness and from the shastra, it starts to become distorted. So we're good with this? So love it when a new topic is introduced, everyone sits around and has that look. Yeah, well, we introduced it. Yes, generally we talk about it here, then it goes to class. It came up in class first. So in other words, you can see what's the science there. You've given the point that it should be understood, but it's not. So then you give the reason, and then you give the examples. And the examples is so that through the abstract, then you can make it concrete for yourself. Right? So that was the problem in the logical discussion. When we're giving an example, which is the abstract, then we try to make the abstract a discussion.
Yes.
You know, like we give an example of, yes, and so just like in Varnashram, then, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj was doing this. Yes, so in Varnashram, then, you know, my mother-in-law, then this and that and other things like that. So is that correct? You know, or even better. Well, according to Varnashram, but the temple president did this. Is that correct? You know, that's more than one use.
Yes.
You know? So in other words, it went from a discussion on the point into a political discussion because the political is the value. In other words, when I said the example, it brought up some scars, but not some scars that are in line with trying to understand the point. It's some scars that are important to them, and then it's gone. Right? So that's then what happens, is that we have to be very careful, is that that's not what's going on. So when one's discussing, you try to use examples in that are going to work for the audience. So if you know certain things are going to create a problem, then you try to avoid those. But you have to work on the group dynamic. And in the group dynamic, you may get 80-90%, or sometimes more, and it's part of it you won't get. You know what I'm saying? So you have that thing where one person is asking the question, you're trying to explain it to them, they don't understand it all, but everybody else in the room does. So then that's good. That's as good as you'll get it. You understand? Because they're distracted. The example or the point brings up some scars in them that they don't find favorable. And they can't see it in context of what you're discussing because of just the overwhelming experience of that point. So they get distracted into that. You understand? So it's just something that you'll see when you preach. That's why then you make it according to them. It's not that you're not discussing philosophy. That's bogus to think that soft preaching means to not discuss a philosophy. You're discussing, but you're using the examples and terminologies that who you're talking to can appreciate. You know, just like we see when Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts off in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he talks off using the term supreme. Then after some time, then he says Lord. Right? But it takes him near the end. He says, but he hasn't not discussed Vedanta philosophy all the way through. He's not watering anything down. He's not changing anything. He's not leaving anything else. It's just that if you say supreme, even atheists will take that. But as soon as you say Lord, now the atheist won't, but any religious person will. Right? And then you bring to the next thing about God as a person. Then it, you understand, it becomes... Yeah, so all it is that you just present it so that the examples will work for the audience to get them to that point. Okay. Does that make sense? That's what you're doing. So it's like the primary and secondary, but you're bringing out a different aspect. You're bringing out how the mind's working. Like that. Primary means it's about Krishna. So, therefore, if I take it that anything that I see, I'm going to interpret it according to what's going to be pleasing to Krishna, then that's pure bhakti. If I'm going to be that combination which I'm comfortable with and, it's okay for Krishna, I'll offer it to Krishna, then that may be mixed or it's not as advanced. You know, it may be just the beginning stage of pure devotion. Right? And then as you go down, it gets more mixed. Does that make sense? So you're just bringing that up. So the alternatives there, experiential, are going to be prema and lust. Because these are the two. Lust means we're the center. Prema means Krishna is the center. Right? So as a devotee, we may not be on the platform of prema, but it's in pursuance of the prema. Right? It's in pursuance of the prema. And so, therefore, we're getting a spiritual experience, not a material experience. But it's just a small amount because prema means it's constant and it's very deep, while we may be getting something now and again. And, for us it's very deep, but compared to what it could be, but when it is that...
Actually, I'm not clear about the prana.
Not clear about the prana.
Yes. It was said in the Sutra Prakashita that...
Here's meaning that he's saying pranas mean the senses are modifications of the chief prana, means the life airs.
So it can be the senses or something else. It can be the senses...
No. His meaning here, pranas, means the vital airs, then pranadi, prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana. So then, the saying is that here is saying the effect is not different from the cause, just as the pranas are modifications of the chief prana. So here, just as the pranas, then you'd read senses. are modifications of the chief prana, or the life air that they are, that is empowering them. Does that make sense? That's what it said here. That's given in the later sutras. Right? It's confirmed that the chief prana, that other than the chief prana, the five others designated by prana are senses. Yes. So that's the whole point. So even though you're using the word, they're also pranas, because that's how they function. That's one of the ways to look at them. So most of the time, we're looking at them in connection with the mind.
Yes.
Because that's why we're going to do something. And it is the experience. Right? But if we're looking about the activity of them, that they're active and they're moving, that's because of pranas. That's because of the life air. So it's just a matter of what you're bringing out.
We can say the senses are... there is some life air connected to the senses.
That's there, but you also have fires connected with them. I'm saying you have all these things, it's just which one you want to look at. You know, it's just like this pot. Do I want to look at it from the efficiency of how it works? Do I want to look at it from, you know, its volume, what it can hold? Do I want to look at it from the aesthetics point of view in the way of just its shapeliness or design? Or I'm looking at the cleanliness or the aesthetics from that point. Is it shiny? So they're all connected with the pot, but they're different, so you call them different things. You know, one you say the architecture of it, one you say the engineering of it, one you say the aesthetics of it. Does that make sense? The application of it, so all those. So it's just that you're bringing out a different aspect here. So that's what they're trying to do, is that you have explained it, but the problem is it needs explaining from so many different angles because the people aren't accepting it. So you take another angle. That's what you're doing also when you're teaching, is that you're explaining something, and then if people catch it, then nice, and if they don't, then you give a different angle, and you keep going until you find the angle that works. Because otherwise, then they keep adjusting. Just as they adjust to not understand it, we adjust so that they will understand it. So that's the whole technique of the logic, is how to make the adjustments to bring it to Siddhanta.
So Maharaj, here you explain this example to bring us, what is me, to the Upanaya, closer to the
computer. Yes. The Upanaya means that now you're near, you see that, okay, what you're talking about in this, and then you can understand the conclusion.
You can make the connection.
Yes, then you can make the connection. Because you're trying to bring it where then the experiential is there.
Yes.
You know, you can relate to it. When we say, oh, I can relate to that, means the experiential is there.
Yes.
So, just when you give a new topic, there's no experience, so you don't know what to connect it to. Therefore, that's there for the blank looks.
Yes.
Because you get a look when there's some experience behind it. And a blank look is like, what's the use of this? It's just abstract, because we've heard the mechanics, but there's nothing to compare it to, therefore we can't apply it. So that's why then the example then shows how you can apply. So,
first or second brother, we were discussing about this mechanics of like the five pranas, and then beyond it, how the Supreme Lord is the chief prana, and then
how
it connects back.
Yes.
I think it's near the heart, there is one particular connection through which it connects back to the all. We were discussing that mechanics.
Yes, means there's the mechanics of it, but the point of the mechanics is so that you see that everything's coming from the Lord. That's what you're trying to do. Is that things have been coming, we have a tendency to not see them in connection with the Lord. We just think the material energy produces. Right? You know, just like, okay, we're doing something with the intelligence, but where does the intelligence come from? You know, so that kind of thing, is that it has to be able to be taken back. So that when we understand it, the supreme cause is the Lord, then the whole thing comes down, is that if it's all the Lord, then that means things should be in connection with the Lord rather than not. So that's what we're trying to get to, is that we see Krishna in everything, we see everything related to Krishna. Right?
The pranas are the five airs. The chief prana is what?
Here it's meaning the chief prana is the life airs. And then other pranas are the senses. Does that make sense? That's how it's being used. But you could say prana is the chief, and then apana, vyana, samana, and udana are therefore then, how you say, things that function, that are expansions of that, of the chief prana. Right? So it's just a matter of how you want to do. But quoting from here is that how it's being used in Vedanta Sutra and other examples, then he's comparing this, that we're meaning the senses themselves, because then something happens. Right? Because it's just like, okay, let us say here, I don't know which is which, but they all have, these are all their main ones. There's 10 life airs, because there's the opposite of it. Like, let's just say, I'm not sure what, but one of them makes, you know, you can expand out. So you can make your arms go out, so you can puff yourself up. That's that air, but then bringing back in and going back, that's the other one. Because they all go in pairs. But to do that, you have to use the senses. But prana itself is not. It can just, you breathe, and you don't have to be engaging the senses. So then one may say, well, therefore, then it should mean just the apana, vyana, samana, nudana. But how do you know that they're working unless the senses are engaged? That's how you know.
Manifestation.
Yes, because otherwise how do you know? So that's why then it means the senses. So these other ones, when they connect with the senses and they're supplied, then you say, there. So then the chief is the prana. But at the same time, as all these are expansions of that, those potencies are in the prana. Therefore, it's the chief. Then from that, these come out, and then they're applied as the senses.
Interpreting the abstract world in service of Krishna, we try to interpret that. But as the time goes, our samskaras and all those come, and then it completely comes.
It gets in the way, but that's the whole point, is you're supposed to be changing the samskaras, purifying the samskaras. That's what you're trying to do. Right? So, you're identifying as servant of Krishna, so what choice do you make? Whatever's in connection with Krishna. Now the effect of that is that not going to therefore create a samskara. So that means now you have a devotional samskara. You know. And then in the other side it's, you know, 10 to the 1 billion. But whatever it is, but still you have one of these. And so you just keep doing that, it'll build up. Because spiritual is greater than illusion.
What are possible from our side?
Yes, you work in areas that you can engage. That's what the whole Varnashram system is for. You do things that you can do. This whole idea is no, we're not the body, we can do anything. That works great for temple presidents. But the whole point is that unless you're engaging someone according to their nature, then they're getting the benefit for doing the service, even if it's not their nature, but it would be hard to say the temple president's getting benefit from engaging someone not according to their nature. That the service got done, they'll get credit for that, but they won't get credit for engaging the devotee in that according to their nature. So in other words, I engage them according to their nature, I get credit for that, because I'm doing that to please Krishna, as Prabhupada said. Then they are going to do the service, and now that's being done in context of the overall temple. And so now the president will get benefit from that also. The devotee will get benefit, you know, and the president will get benefit because he's the one making that arrangement. But if he's engaging someone not according to their nature because it's just practical and we're not this body, Prabhu, and all, we just have to surrender, Prabhu, and all those kind of things, then the difficulty comes up is he's getting no credit for that. In fact, now if that devotee is having trouble and all that, now that trouble, he'll get the benefit of that. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean he won't get the benefit of having that they are engaged and doing something in the overall. But he's not getting for engaging properly. He'll get the problem for the trouble that person is going through. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it all goes together. It's not, we can't speculate. Because here's, well, for me is like that, and so therefore, you have to understand the abstract, the laws governing it are given by Krishna, not by us. We're not the ones giving the laws. Krishna is. And so, therefore, it's about pleasing Krishna, not about the perfection of the manipulation of material energy. That we use according to our nature. And if we're thinking we're just being practical, it's more practical to engage someone according to their nature than against it. If there's an emergency, of course, then everybody does everything, whatever needs to be done. But once things are stable, then to keep going at that because it worked nicely, then that doesn't work out. Even in we could say even in the Western context, it doesn't work out, right? Moses hit the rock with his staff, water came because God said. Then God said, just chant his name. Right? Don't hit the rock with the staff. Just chant his name and the water will come. He didn't have the faith. He hit it with his staff. Right? So it didn't even work there. So even the West has something to go on. Does that make sense? So, but it doesn't mean that the person engaging is not going to be getting the spiritual benefit, but at the same time, he has to be very careful. So it's this thoughtful thing. It's not just I'm in charge, I'm in control, which is what everybody wants. No, it's you have the responsibility to go with it. Right? So that's the whole thing, is we have to see is that it has to be applied. And the application is going to generate an experience. And that experience has to be in connection with Krishna. Right? So if we're, okay, that devotee surrendered, but is the president surrendering by following the system? Because for him, it's just easy to not do that. And then he expects everyone else that they're going to go against. He's just going to do what's easy for him, but they're not going to do what's easy for them. So that's the Vedic system, is everybody does what's actually easy for them. Because if it's easy, you get the best result. Right? If I take the cook and he has to drive the car, and the driver has to do cook lunch, it may not work out so good. Right? And it will be difficult for each one of them, and the effectiveness is not good. But if you put them in the proper place, then everything works. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, let's say I get into a car that's not in good shape. Is it going to drive easily? Changing gears, the clutch doesn't work, the brake kind of, you push on the brake, and after a while it does start to work. You know, all that kind of stuff. So is it going to make for efficient driving? No. But now, let us say, okay, that is, I understand that as a karmi, that's the way it's going to work. But now as a devotee, because we're not the car, so shouldn't now it all just work perfectly, however we want? You know, there we are, the same car that hardly moves, there we are going and drifting through the corners and stuff like that. Right? No? You know, you could go down to, what is it, to, you know, Le Mans and do okay. Nice. Spa, is that also in France? Spa. No. Oh. But Monaco is. Yeah, so now you can take it down there and win first prize.
By Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, by Krishna's mercy. Because we're not this car. So the same logic applies, that we say, I'm the soul, I'm not the body. Therefore, now the body can do things that it technically can't do just because I feel like it. So is that real? No. So that's the whole point.
It's very popular.
It is super popular.
Yes.
Because that's the whole thing. Why would it be popular? What is the samskar? The samskar is, I don't want to follow authority. I want to do whatever I want. So now I have a sutra. I'm not this body, that proves it on all levels. And if you don't accept it, I have another sutra. Just surrender. So like that. Yeah, these are Mahavakyas. Yes, very good point. Yes, so this is then what it is. And so we use that just to get out of doing. Because our nature is not to follow authority. Not that it's to follow authority, so just surrender to Krishna. So sarva dharmam paritya ja. Now, what is that meaning? You're following all the religious things, but you're following because you should follow religion because you're attached to religion. No, give up following religion because you're attached to religion, the benefits you'll get in karma and jnana, and just do activities that please Krishna, which are those religious activities being done in bhakti. So the religious activity doesn't change. So in other words, for the, you know, the person who is the pious person who's attached to piety, then they may not still see it in the benefits being gained. No, but you have to give that up. You have to only perform those religious activities to please Krishna. Because they're just a media, right? They're a medium to please Krishna. But now, I don't want to use it as a medium to please Krishna. I want to use it as a medium to please myself. Right? And to please myself means it can't be connected to Krishna. Right? Somehow those two are opposing elements according to the mundane, you know, perspective. And so therefore, then I want to be independent. I'm the controller, so I don't have to follow these rules. So sarva dharma means I don't have to follow any rule. I just do whatever I want. But strange enough is that they'll be very strict and stickly on following the modern contemporary rules. Like political correctness is a total adherence to modern social construct. You know, with no leeway. There's no liberalism in applying political correctness. You know, they give you very little room. Any word you use. You know, so I say, and so then if you're doing this, why are you picking me out? There's so many people. Okay, so then, yeah, just, you know, whoever it is. Oh, but now it's impersonal. That's what they do. They have nothing better to do. Right? So the whole point is that it's just about making myself the center. And so here's a very nice way, is that I don't have to follow any rules. So that you can see is the background behind it. Because they don't follow rules anyway. Because who says this are people who didn't follow rules before taking up Krishna consciousness. Not people who are, probably someone who is very religious and did all their duties will never bring this up. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole difficulty, is that it all comes back to our samskaras. So that's why then the process is there trying to uproot our attachment to the bad ones and try to give us a new perspective so that we'll take up good ones. That's what education is. Because knowledge, when it becomes applied, then you can say it's complete. Right? That I've heard it, that I can, relate to, you know, understand, how you say, discriminate what's going on in there. But it's only when I actually apply it in my life, that's when it gets. That's why manana is that stage in between. I'm using the knowledge that I've gained, but I'm trying to apply it practically. By practical application, that's going to give the experience, the samskara. Right? And that will then therefore establish how I do things. Does that make sense? Yes?
But now it seems that it is like a fighting.
Like?
Fighting.
Fighting.
To change some scar.
Yeah. Well, that's why the example we see is given of with the sword of knowledge. Then you cut through attachments, yeah. Right? But then, I can't remember when, but at some point, I think in the 90s, that people became, how do you say, politically correct. And therefore, war analogies were not considered good. Like before that, war analogies were, but they didn't, because you wouldn't want to step on the sentiments of those from the 60s who were anti-Vietnam. Right? You know? And so therefore then, you have to tiptoe around those, even though it's a very good example, because it's probably quite a few of the movies that and books and that are popular have fighting in them. wars, fighting, and stuff like that, you know, whatever it is, you know, so either you go back in time that it's, you know, a little bit before, you know, one of the wars, you go back more, you go back to the medieval, you know, like that, or you go forward to the future, you know, or it's zombies or something that you have to fight with, you know. And if nothing, then it's just a sitcom or, you know, a soapy, and then you just fight with family members. You know? So, you know, whatever, fighting will be there. If there's no fighting, it's not going to work. So, therefore, it doesn't make sense. It's a natural thing that people are always engaged in. So, then we won't use that. So then you can't use these examples because of the audience. So if you have an audience that's just that, you don't use them. You find something else that they will appreciate, you know, like the rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. And I say girls with really long open hair that aren't wearing much and are playing panpipes, and everyone's dancing in a circle dance. With the, I say, you know, singular garlands of daisies, you know, on top of their head. Oh, it has to be a bit of a meadow, and it should be a slight hill, not flat, never flat. That's very important. It has to be a slight hill.
Some music.
Yeah, because you might be going up and all that. But, yeah.
They fight afterwards.
Sorry?
They fight afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like that, yeah. Okay. Who took my panpipes?
How we are supposed to behave in a situation, a kind of setup where we see that devotees would like to follow these principles, but we see that because of lack of training in education, awareness within the temple president or those who are guiding him, we see that there is a lack in education and training. So how we are supposed to behave in a situation where we figure out a way to act as subordinates?
Yeah. Okay, just one very good question, very well-constructed question, thoughtful on the points, on the examples we were giving, but it's not actually dealing with the subject matter. This is what we were talking about before. It's on the abstract, it's not on the thing. But your answer is already there. You say they're not trained. And then how are you supposed to act means you act according to someone who is trained. Even though they're not, you still act that way. Does that make sense? So you do what's proper. Like that. You know, so that's what you follow authority, you do what's there. Because you'll always get the benefit. Even if you're doing something that doesn't fit your nature, it doesn't matter. You'll get the spiritual benefit. And the trouble you're going through, for some reason it's there, Krishna's arranged that. It doesn't mean because Krishna's arranged that and you're getting it that the authority gets any benefit for that. No, because, you know, like that.
These samskaras are the identities or attachments, or what exactly the samskaras?
It's all that. That's the thing, is they're just bringing out different aspects. Vritti means how the mind then is perceiving something. So that's all together. Your consciousness, your all these things are there. Yeah, everything's all there.
And when we do a spiritual activity, then how the samskara is created, like just while chanting, how we...
Because you get an experience that the chanting is nice.
Yeah. Identity, how it is purified, like...
We identify as servant of Krishna.
And by trying to chant and hear it, it will automatically happen, or we have to...
You have to be aware of it, but it has to be... Just like, if you eat, is your hunger automatically taken care of? Yeah, but if you don't eat, then it's not. So you can't say it's automatic means you follow the process. The results will come automatically because we don't create the results. We can take part in the process, have the knowledge, apply the process for the goal, but we don't create the goal. Because just as we don't create the knowledge or create what's the application of that knowledge, we can take part as an instrument. Okay, so in other words, this is giving examples, you know, to show the previous point. There are no examples given to illustrate a satkaryavad. One does not see the son of a barren woman being born, nor a flower in the sky. Therefore, the one Brahman endowed with Shaktis of Jiva and Prakriti is the material cause of the world. The effect, the universe, is non-different from him. That has now been proved. And though manifesting as the effect, Brahman remains in its previous complete state because of its inconceivable quality. So even though it is the material cause, and therefore the transformation that we call the material world, it's Brahman still remains as it is and the Lord of those Shaktis. So the Shaktis are transformed, right? So that's the uniqueness of his inconceivable qualities. We can't do that, so we can't say, because I can't, he can't. It doesn't work like that. He's God, we're not. Om namo Vasudevaya tasmai bhagavate sada. Vya tirikam na yasyasti vya tirito kilasya ya. I constantly offer respects to Lord Vasudeva, from whom nothing is different, and who is different from everything. Vishnu Purana 1:19-78. Bhagavatam verse reference. Right, so nothing is not is different from him. At the same time, he is different from everything. So that's the inconceivable. That's why achintya. Right, you can see here is that it's saying achintya veda veda tattva.
In Vishnu Purana.
Yeah, in Vishnu Purana. It's everywhere it's saying, but it's just we don't catch that. Here it's saying it in one verse, but if in the Upanishad it's talking about the oneness of the Lord, and another place it's talking about the difference, it's saying the same thing. It's just doing it over, you know, 20 or 30 verses. But that's the point. Everything's a chinta veda veda tattva. When we accept that inconceivable, then it starts to work for us. You know, if we're thinking, no, but I don't conceive it, because you can't. It's conceivable. That's why the word's there. But I'm so smart. No. Yeah. Like that.
The difference is because of Krishna as a person is different. The difference, God is different because he as a person is different from everything else which is covered.
That's there. But the point is he's still everything and different as a person. Who can say that that's how they are? You know, so that's not. You could say we give the example of the businessman and his money, his factory, his workers, you know, the products. It's all him, but at the same time, it's different, right? So because as example, we catch it. But if you want to be technical, then the point is he wasn't the money anyway. He's not the mechanics or how the factory. Those are all laws of nature. They're already there. It's all Krishna. But he can take part as an instrument in this process of manufacture. But the laws are Krishna, so that's the point. And he's non-different from it all, but at the same time, it's a person who's different. So the example is given. That's what we're showing. Because he's like that, therefore, in the effect or the material manifestation, you can still see that difference. Therefore, we can say the businessman is there, all the business, and that is a manifestation of him, but at the same time, he's personally different. It's because there is cause, the cause in the effect. So sat karya bhav. Yes.
What keeps them going if they don't have any examples?
No, that's why everything's about examples.
No, but what keeps them going? Like
who's them?
Those sat karya bhav. They don't have any examples, so.
I'm God. You know, I'm the controller and enjoyer. It's like, you know,
that's the main experience.
Yeah. So that's the bottom line. Even if you clear everything else, that will be left.
Yeah.
That's why liberated persons who are not devotees aren't technically liberated. They're liberated in that they're out of the material world, they're on the spiritual platform, but because they're maintaining the I'm the controller and enjoyer. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of I am Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi, and Brahmananda? Right? Because the I is, I'm Brahman, and the Brahmasmi is Brahmana, and the mind is Brahmananda. So they're still maintaining a Brahman, so that's not actually the Brahman platform. It is from the material sense, but it's not in the spiritual. The spiritual sense, being situated in Brahman, means you're situated out of the material consciousness in the spiritual world. So we can see it's not a matter of location.
Yeah.
Right?
So can we say that this concept is original samskara? Like,
sorry?
Is it original samskara?
Generally, we wouldn't say the original samskara, but we would use part of that word. We say the original sin. But yeah, you can say it's the original samskara. Where means the original material samskar, when we decide to be that. Otherwise, the other samskars, we were functioning in a neutral state, so they weren't having so much effect, but somehow or another, this resonated. Is that working with the abstract to... We were getting taste from working with the abstract, while the devotees, the only benefit of working with the abstract is what it would get in concrete form for pleasing Krishna. So that's the meaning of going back to Godhead. The situation we've been in, but we function from the neutral platform, and then when this came up, we took this as serious. This became the concrete rather than bhakti. Right? And for other souls, they're in contact and it's so wonderful because it's all connected to Krishna, and so then for them, the samskar is bhakti. And so then they move forward to prema and then go to Goloka. But we, from that neutral state, then we, you know, came this side.
That's why there is no going back to Brahma. Actually, there is nothing like that.
Yeah, you don't say back home, back to Brahma. Right?
In our case,
trying to get back to the garden. Yes.
In our case, the location and situation seems to affect our consciousness very much.
The location does affect us, but why? Because we think we're the controller and enjoyer. So therefore, a particular situation, then we find we're absorbed in. Bhagavatam verse reverence. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:20-28. The inhabitants of Shakadweep worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu in the following words. O Supreme Person, situated as the Supersoul within the body, you direct the various actions of the different airs, such as prana, and thus you maintain all living entities. O Lord, O Supersoul of everyone, O Controller of the cosmic manifestation, under whom everything exists, you may protect us, O. May you protect us from all dangers. So he directs everything and all that. He maintains everything. But at the same time, it's all functioning under him. That's the thing. He's everything, but it's still functioning under his direction. Sutrakar indicates that Adhikaranas 8 through 13 effectively establish Brahman as the creator via comparative examination between the qualities of the Jiva and Brahman, right? So now, up to now, is that we are trying to point out that the cause and effect aspect, because they haven't been accepting that Brahman can do these things. Now that we've shown that, now we're bringing out that the Brahman is the creator, so that aspect of it. So then these next Adhikaranas are going to establish that point. Does that make sense? So it's carrying on from this point. Adhikarana 8. Jiva as creator. Itara vyaparesha dikaranam. Sutra reference 2.1.21. Adhikarana Prakashita. The Adhikarana continues to establish the Supreme Lord as the efficient cause of creation. To argue that the Jiva is the efficient cause is illogical. For why would the Jiva create a world in which he has to suffer? The Sutrakar in the concluding pada of the concluding chapter in Vedanta Sutra 4.4.17-18, Jagat Vyapara Varjam Prakaranam Asanni Hitat Va and Pratyak Sopadeshad Itichen Na Adhikarika Mandalas Yoktehe explains that the liberated Jiva cannot create universes because of Shruti statements indicating that only the Lord is endowed with the task of creation. And the liberated Jivas, in any case, have no powers to create the universe. Then how can the conditioned Jiva be the creator? Right? this is unsound. So the jiva can't be the creator. So now you're establishing is that before it was Pradhan as the source, but then the whole point comes is that Pradhan being the source, and you could say is creating everything, but why is that creation going on, right? So we dealt with the secondary, the Pradhan is creating it. But there is the aspect in their philosophy that is because of the desire of the jiva that Pradhan is creating. So that makes it that the jiva in that way is the creator. So they're showing, no, he's not. It's Brahman is the creator. So it's Brahman's desire, not our desire, that causes creation. So, summary of Adhikarana 8. In Vedanta Sutra 1.4.23, Prakritischa Pratigya Drishtam Tanu Parodat. It was proved that the Lord is the material cause and the effect efficient cause of this universe. Doubts raised concerning Brahman as the material cause have been refuted in Vedanta Sutra 2.16, Drishyate 2, and in other sutras the point is strengthened. Now, after refuting the idea that a jiva is the creator of the universe, the author strengthens the proposition that the Lord is the efficient cause. Though some other scriptural statements appear to support the idea that the jiva is the creator, or Vishaya. Some say that the Lord is the creator of the universe using statements like Kar Taradam Isham, the Lord is the creator, Mundaka Upanishad 3.13. Shamshaya, is the Supreme Lord or Jiva the creator of the universe? So then their reason, Purvapaksha. Others say that, or their argument, that the jiva with good karma is the creator of the universe, using statements like jivad bhavanti bhutani, from the jiva all beings arose. They say that the creator is a jiva, because if the Lord were the creator, it would contradict his quality of perfection, since the world is full of imperfection, and as a perfect person, he does not need a world at all. So therefore, as we need the world, so therefore we create it. But does the jiva actually need it? Because if that's the whole point, then the soul in its natural state, whatever it would be according to the philosophy, would have no imperfections. So the perfect jiva, why does it need the world? So therefore, why would a perfect jiva create? And if it's, okay, it's done by imperfect jivas, but where would the imperfect jivas come from? Right? It's only with creation that there's the imperfection. So you couldn't get the situation in which a jiva would create. Right? Plus, we know that they don't have the power and everything anyway. But just in the principle of it. Right? Because of the two opposing Shruti statements, can the question be resolved? Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva refutes this proposition in the next sutra. Okay? Sutra 2.1.21. Itara vyapadeshad di karanadi dosha prasaktihi. Itara, of the others, vyapadeshat, from the designation, iha, beneficial, akaranadhi, not creating, etc., dosha, imperfection, prasaktihi, consequence. So now, technically, this is a side point, I just have to ask those from the, you know, Vrita Desh here, is that, now, when you try to cook dosas in the home, they don't work out so good. So is that why they're called dosa? Because they're imperfect. But then if that's true, then would the restaurant dosas technically be called dosas because they're not imperfect? Do you have any... Can you shed any light on this doubt?
Dosas cooked anywhere other than Mysore are imperfect because they don't.
Oh, I see. Okay. So dosas cooked anywhere outside of your house are imperfect, but the ones in your house are imperfect. So that means then, as is cause and the effect, then the effect of all other dosas then would have the same in imperfection as the dosas in your house. Okay. Yeah. Very so, philosophically sound.
That's the equivalent of the pizza for the Italians.
Pizza for the Italians. Yeah, yes, yes.
Everywhere it's imperfect.
Yeah, everywhere it's perfect. Only your family cooks it perfectly. You know, specifically your grandmother. But then, if she's not there, then your mother. Okay, prasaktihi, consequence. The proposition that the jiva creates the universe. This is from?
Thank you.
Huh? Thank you. Okay. The proposition that the jiva creates the universe has the fault that the jiva creates something unbeneficial for himself. Why would you do that?
But another doubt can come. It's 50-50 unbeneficial and 50 beneficial. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, but if the soul is perfect so that they can create, why would they create something imperfect?
Went out of hand.
Went out of hand. Okay, so that explains it. So therefore, God didn't create it. The jivas created it, went out of hand, and now they're suffering. So then if you surrender to God, then you can get back to the perfectional platform, then the problems go away.
And also, not all the jivas are suffering. It's 50-50 who are suffering.
But that may be a specific point, but does it mean that at the next point that they're always happy? Because otherwise the 50-50 equation wouldn't apply.
Because we always think that some other people are happy.
Yes, but that's the reason that we are inspired. Mm-hmm. As one wealthy person was pointing out, that when they pull up, let's say in their fancy car, and they get out of the car, it's not that they're enjoying the car, having that car, because there's so much difficulty with it. That's why he can only drive up there, because anywhere else he can't leave it, he can't park it, you know, like this. So it's a big trouble. You know, you have to choose which street to drive down that's smooth. Right? When you have a 3-inch clearance, you can't drive on all the roads. And anyone that has a bump in it, this, you can't drive. So, but the satisfaction they get from everybody else thinking that they're enjoying themselves, that's their enjoyment.
What's the point?
No, but they're not enjoying. It's only the illusion that everybody else thinks that they are, that's their happiness. So is it actual happiness? We'll call it happiness, but is it actually happiness?
As far as it gets.
Yes, but then we're being pointed out that the soul being made out of ananda, that's different than sukha. Sukha means you remove the pain. Right? Ananda means it's positive.
So it's not 50-50.
It's not 50-50. It's 100-0, but there's the illusion that it's 50-50. And those are the ones that are optimistic. Yeah, 50-50, but it can get better. And then when with time people figure out it's more towards the 100-0, then they're pessimistic. Because they don't know that there's an alternative or ananda. So that's why we can be pessimistic and optimistic at the same time. Right? Achintya.
It's somebody believe.
Yeah.
Only devotee knows 50-50. People in illusion, they think it is 100-0. Like. But then the
No, they may, that's what they want, but they're not experiencing that. People at 50-50, those are the ones that are more realistic about what's going on and able to accept it.
An argument can be put on this, that we may say that the jiva, while creating, did not know that the universe will actually go to suffering. So therefore he created.
He didn't know, but that means then you're proving that he's an idiot. Or immature, or inexperienced, or that. So then how is that going to make you look, put you in a good light? So the point is he didn't. So, but how, what is the jiva working with? You say you create, but did you create the ingredients that you're using to create? Just like, let's say you cook lunch. So you can say you created lunch, but did you make the potatoes? Did you make the earth the potatoes grew in? Right? Did you make the water? Did you make, no. So Krishna's created all those, therefore he's the one.
So then the question will come that that there's a defect in the creator, that he's creating something for someone suffering.
No, because they want to suffer.
Why would someone want to suffer willingly?
You answered that. Okay. Shahrukh is doing his thing and Rani is doing hers, right? Then they happen to bump into each other, right? And they have a fabulous dance on the street. It starts to rain, of course, this whole thing. And so then after that, then it just works out. Then they think that this is great. Then they, next thing they do is go home, introduce each other to their parents. The marriage is arranged, and that's it, and that's done, right? That's how every movie works, right? No, or does it end up that then he ends up in Canada and she's over here and he thinks she hates him and she thinks he hates her, and then finally one day by accident they bump into each other in the street and then find out that their partners have divorced them and left them, now they're free, now they can get together, but they're so traumatized they can hardly do it, but you know, that's the happy ending. So would anybody go to the first one? Would you spend 3 hours? How much is the ticket these days?
Ticket 120.
120. Would you pay 120 for sitting there for 3 hours to go through what I said the first time? You know, the dinner at the house and everything's going perfectly, and then all the arrangements going perfectly and everything else going wonderfully. Like that. Right? You know, and that's the ones where it's working out positive. What about the one where the girl gets killed and then the guy goes out, he's a wimp, but he goes out and burns down the whole, you know, Bombay docks and destroys and kills every dacoit there is in the place. And he all does that with his, you know, whatever it is he has, that one gun with 6 bullets and he kills at least 100 of them. Right? But, you know, to make it not so bad is that while this fight's going on, they'll all break into a dance and all that. Sing about, you know, singing about dying in Bombay. Or, you know, something they'll sing. You know. And then we'll do a montage, okay? Is that him killing the guys here, then killing the guys in, you know, there, and then they'll switch to Kashmir and it's out in the snow, and then he's shooting the guys up there, and then they'll be running around a tree and he's shooting them there, and yeah? Is it all working for you? So, yeah.
In the Jiva, who is the Jiva also has a chit shakti. So
the Lord, not, he has a chit shakti, yes.
So if the chit shakti is there, then this. Why should he create something for his own suffering, as we are saying?
But he's not his suffering. He doesn't suffer. He's above. That we've already established. He's beyond. That was the previous points we discussed. So you're coming in later. That's already been discussed. Is that he's above it. It doesn't affect him. It's his energies. It's already him. You know, it's just like this. If I have my hand here and I close my hand, do I suffer? No. Right? So it doesn't bother him. We're the one that decided if the hand's open it's good and if it's closed it's bad. Yeah? Good? Okay, we'll let you sit there and think for a while. Sutta Prakashita. Herein the Sutrakar explains that no rational person would create something unfavorable for himself. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta, some other learned persons, itara, who accept the idea, vyapadeshat, that a jiva is the maker of the world, or some who accept the teachings of creation of the universe, vyapadeshat, by some jiva, itara. 31. Itara can be taken to refer to some persons holding the opinion, or to some jiva creating the world. Yeah, so either those who think like that, or just the philosophy itself. End up with the fault, dosha, prashaktihi, of the jiva producing something not beneficial to himself. Hita karanadi. He produces something unbeneficial because in the world that he produced, he experiences labor and faults. No intelligent person by his own choice would make a prison for himself and then enter it like a silkworm making a cocoon. Nor would someone who is by nature clean accept a very unclean body. Nor has any jiva produced a universe and effect made of pradhan, mahatattva, ahankara, ether, air, and other elements. he would become exhausted just thinking about such a creation. Therefore, the theory that Jiva creates the world, which is contrary to the perfection of the Lord as creator, is rejected, right? Because the Lord can create this, control it, wind it all up. So the example is giving you the spider. It can make the web and wind it back up. But the Jiva can't do that. He can't produce the things. Because you can only be considered to be the maintainer if the ingredients that are used in the maintenance are given by you. Right? It's just like, let's say, let's see, you have in Bombay, what was it? The Hindujas made that really weird house. That funny building goes up and all over the place, and so like 1.2 million or something. Huh? Never heard of it? No, not Hindujas. Ambani, yeah. You heard of that one?
The new one, right?
Yeah, some weirdo thing. I think they don't even live in it because it's so weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, whose house is it? Right? The Ambani's house, okay? So now, being the Ambani's house, but technically, didn't the engineers and the laborers and all that build it? So wouldn't we say it's their house? No, why not? Because they didn't provide the ingredients. Right? The Ambanis provided the ingredients, so it's their house. But at the same time, who have provided the ingredients that their ingredients are made out of? Right? The earth, water, fire, all these things. That's given by Krishna, so technically it's his house. But it's their quota. So they have to use it in Krishna's service. Since you have to use it in Krishna's service, and that's why you want it to be favorable. And to make it favorable, that's why you use Vasta. And then you don't build houses like that. Does that make sense? Yes?
Now, the only solution to do when there is a mistake is to offer to Krishna.
As long as you are balancing it, since we're working on the 50-50 point here, balance it with when things go right, you also offer it to Krishna. In other words, when it's right, it's offerable to Krishna. When it's wrong, I'm the idiot, and so therefore I surrender to Krishna. So better when it's wrong, surrender, and when it's right, offer. You know, in surrender, of course. So the only alternative is surrender. Like that. The only alternative is seeing in relation to Krishna. That's what you're trying to do.
We see everything in relation to Krishna, then we can say that our conditioned nature, it's kind of part of the creation, not our fault. Okay, not Krishna's fault either.
Nobody's fault.
It's like that. That's the given.
Okay.
And from this, we step up. And we try to offer whatever we can produce with that conditioned nature to Krishna.
Okay.
And this would be the act of devotion or the act of hopeless, you know, that's all we have and that's it.
No, because the devotion is that you're offering whatever you have in that hopeless situation.
And it is like this building you were speaking about. I mean, they can't use it, so they can offer it now.
But, you know, yeah, but that's the point, is that if we work along the lines of the religious processes given by Krishna to please Krishna, then the first position would have been how to build a house according to Vastu that then could be engaged in Krishna's service nicely. But no, they wanted to do it that we're making the most far out, different, unique house in the world, which they have. But, you know, it's, you know, how do you live in that? You know, so that's the point, is that if you consider that, that's why it's recommended that you follow the Shastra, because then the result you'll get will be better than if you don't. You know, we may be able to give examples, oh, you couldn't hear, but that in emergency you do whatever needs to be done. But to say an emergency is standard, then that's one doesn't know what the actual standard is. So, yeah. But in that case, then they're devotees, they do, but that means the reactions that come from it, then it's up to Krishna what's there, what's not. So then best then you just rip it.
That actually this previous argument that Krishna is creating something for us to suffer is not correct, because he's giving things which work in this world.
Yes, no, the suffering is because we don't follow what works.
Yes.
If we just took up the process of bhakti and followed the Vedic recommendations to please Krishna, you know, and that the end game is to please Krishna in devotion, then where's the suffering? Right, we don't hear Sudama Brahmins really suffering, or you know, so we don't hear about it. We don't hear about the Dwarkavasis are really having a rough time, and you know, does that make sense? That life is going nice. So that's the whole point. Is that's as nice as it can get. So the thing that's actually nice is the devotion, is the connection to Krishna. That's the specialness of the spiritual world, is that everything's about Krishna. So where is the stress? It's not there. So does that make sense? Because we make it about ourselves, that's why we say something's distressful or not. But if it's about Krishna, then what can be distressful since everything's Krishna?
On the contrary, it's actually his benevolence that he
it's his benevolence that he gives us an opportunity. Otherwise, according to I'd say your contemporary concept, if somebody's wrong or bad, then what happens to them? Right? You know, they don't get much facility. But here Krishna's giving a whole realm, one quarter of eternity or unlimited, he's giving for those souls who have turned away from Krishna. And so he's giving them the opportunity. Now, look at one quarter. But they're only one tenth of the jivas. So that means three quarters are in, I mean, nine tenths are in three quarters, and one tenth is in one quarter. So actually, you're getting more, you know, the realty, you know, like that. Or
no problem is overpopulation.
Yeah, and then they say overpopulation. But over on that side, it's no overpopulation, because overpopulation is when you don't get along. When you get along, where's the overpopulation? Right? You know, it's like the Western cliche, this town's not big enough for the both of us. There's plenty of space, but no, because of false egos.
That might be that the overpopulation is originally not up there.
No, that's what we're saying. They all get along, so there's no overpopulation.
Okay, they get along.
They all get along. Here they don't. Mm-hmm. So you have to put even more space.
No, I mean in the north. In the north part of the earth.
Oh, yeah, like that. Yeah. They just don't, you know, perfection is 1 kilometer difference between houses. Like that. And the house should be, yeah, should be red.
Yeah.
You know, with white corners.
Sometimes the question is raised against the benevolence part, which you were explaining.
Sometimes?
The question is raised against the benevolence nature of
Krishna. Against the benevolence.
Yeah.
See.
So they say that if Krishna anyhow gave us the free will, so he could have created a situation where we could perfectly enjoy independent of him. It's like if we are...
Yeah, he could, but what would be the benefit? No, but I'm just saying, what would be the benefit? You're saying that, but what would be the benefit?
It's because of, I think, our problem, we are not able to see that benevolence, but the thought comes that if he's really benevolent, he could...
Yes, but I'm saying, what you're saying, if he was really benevolent, then he would make it where we can live perfectly, separate from him. But that's like saying, is that, you know, your little finger living separate from you in perfection. You know, what does this benevolence look like? So you're saying he could have made it perfect. What does that look like? What's that hotel down at the end of Marine Drive? Taj. Okay. Everybody lives in the Taj. Everybody's got their own Taj. Everybody's driving an Audi, you know, whatever it is, one of those ones with the, you know, that always shows up in the movies, right? Like that. You know, everyone's, you know, wife looks like, what's her name? You know, Miss World.
Aishwarya.
Yeah, Aishwarya, or the other one before that. You don't remember that one.
until when they were young.
Yeah, that was before then. Yeah, okay. So, does that make sense? You know, everyone's that, and everyone's the same. Everyone has the same money, the same position. Everyone's got everything like that. Then, is that going to be great?
That's North Korea.
Hmm?
North Korea.
Is it going to be nice?
Looks like there won't be any interaction.
Yeah, of course. So how is that better?
But how to console ourselves?
Console yourself is that this is the wrong place to be happy. You're in the wrong place. It's like trying to be happy in prison. Couldn't the warden of the prison or the state made the prison so much nicer so that we'd all be comfortable here? I think that's called Denmark.
Exactly, this kind of I think feeling comes inside that if Krishna means, I think it's our contamination, but
yeah, you think it's our contamination, but you still want to try to. The point is happiness is not here, so that's why you get a play, because we think it's here. So therefore, it is his benevolence that he gives us a place where we can figure out that it's not here, because it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let us say a few members of your house have decided that the house isn't the real place to enjoy, it's in the toilet. So then they, you know, decide to have their parties in the toilet and everything like that. Does that make sense? So now, since that's not really where you can enjoy yourself, therefore, do I make the toilet nice or do I make it not so nice? Right? So you make problems in the toilet. You know, they mix the punch and the alcoholic drinks in the bowl of the toilet, but then somebody in trying to be real casual and cool with the ladies and they'll put his hand over there and flushes the toilet and then all your drinks are gone. You know? And so therefore then the problem is there. Okay. Yeah. So they do in the prison. They mix when they have a party, they mix the drinks in the toilet. Yeah.
The relevant example.
Huh?
Relevant
example. Relevant example, yeah. Yeah, just there's no girls there. So that I added in just for flavor. Yeah.
If you want to be gross, there are girls.
Huh?
If you want to be gross, there are girls.
So, how to answer those who say that then exactly it's not a free will world because you are not directly surrendered, so Krishna is carrying you other way around to again surrender.
Because you have free will to surrender, and you know, so therefore then you create situations in which the correct choice can be made. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard of situations where, okay, father's a big industrialist and that, and the son is coming up, and he has good potential, but he's also got so much ego, and he thinks he's so special. And so then the father's telling him how he should do the thing, and he's saying, no, 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 it's going to be like this and that, you're old-fashioned, you don't know, this is the latest thing and all that. Now, if they're in a good enough situation, then he may let him run a particular aspect the way he likes. And then what will happen? It'll all fall apart. And having fallen apart, then he'll go, he'll notice that all the places where dad said what he should do, otherwise this will happen. Then he might go, oh, okay. And then he'll start to listen and follow and do things right. So that's just the way. Because Krishna is not attached. Therefore, he can do that. We're attached. We can't do that.
So in that situation, the analogy of the prison doesn't work at all. Because,
One thing we're just going to make clear right here. You're all together? You're all Poonawallas? Okay, here. Stick to the point, or we'll make a rule, you can't ask questions. Because that's not the point we're discussing here. We gave an example, and you've just been discussing examples because you guys have problems with, your free will. You know, what is it? Is it destiny or free will or destiny? We've discussed that amount, probably put in, I don't know how many hours, 30, 40 hours over the last 8 years. So the actual students in this class, this is the 8th year of a 12-year course. So the students don't appreciate that they have to go back to year one, two, or three, you know, maybe maximum four, to discuss points that have already been discussed. So that's not what this is for. We're trying to appreciate how Krishna is the creator. You know, but we got the thing is that why would the jiva create something that, you know, is not beneficial to himself? So now we're putting that on, so that's a fault, right? Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But now we're taking that fault and putting on Krishna. But why would Krishna make it where we're suffering? Because you're not suffering. How is the soul suffering? The body suffers. The subtle nature suffers. The jiva identifies with it. That's why he suffers. And then we're saying it's Krishna's fault? So we have to understand here is that he's the supreme. This is the way it works. It's working. These people are going. We want it that, you know, we're just going to go on in our life. Let us say everything in our life went on perfectly. You know, going through, we got all top grades. You know, we got our, you know, is the top 4-point average? Is that what you call it, or 5-point?
10-point
here. 10-point average. Okay. Wow, double that. 2.5 times out of America. Right? Okay, so a 10-point average. You went through. You didn't have to study. You knew everything. It went through like that. You know, everybody you talked to, they loved you. Everything went perfectly. Whatever you wanted, you got. Every opportunity you wanted, you got. Every position you wanted, you got. The money you wanted, the opportunities you wanted, everything that you wanted. Would you be sitting here asking these questions? No, you'd be back in your city, a complete, gross, total materialist. So that's the point. And one, is there anybody like I just described? No. Only in Hindi movies. Okay. Right. Even Hollywood doesn't do that anymore. Right? You know, it was before Superman was always a nice guy, but now he's got a side that's not nice, or Batman. Before they were all nice, now they're kind of part nice, part not nice. You understand? So this whole argument is that why am I suffering? Why can't I just be happy? And that's a reason to take up Krishna consciousness. That's called arkarti. That I'm suffering, I don't want to suffer. But the point is what the reason we're suffering because the soul doesn't belong here. So you're saying the soul is going into a place they shouldn't go, and then the government should make it nice when I go to the place that the government says don't go to. So then is it about your relationship with the government? It's just about you and that's it. So God becomes an order supplier. Is it about a relationship with God? Is it about developing prema? No. So therefore, then, can we move on from this discussion?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samabeta Bhaktivinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki